The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
This is the main event.
This is your main event, Mark's Podcast. I'm your first host, lifelong wrestling fan, former radio guy, cat dad, and I am scum. I am Troy, and with me as always is a main event collector and figure hunting warrior. He is a WWE walking wrestling encyclopedia and the Shelton Benjamin to my cheeseburger. It's Greg. What's up, Greg?
I think I'm the good one.
Yeah, it's like the big guy and the little guy. You know,
isn't cheeseburger on AEW now? Or was on Dark, I think. Or Ring of Honor, but
well, that's racist.
I think he was on Dark a couple times. Yeah, I didn't book it.
Well, you got to put the black guys on Dark. Come on, man, that just had bad.
They just canceled them both. So,
did they actually cancel them?
Yeah.
Well, not that it was really helping, but now where the hell are there people who don't know how to work actually going to train?
Dude, we went to Dynamite in the Cow Palace. They had Dark obviously before it. Every match was like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, dude, you're literally having training classes in front of the world. I know I'm being liberal with, saying in front of the world, but you get my drift.
Yeah. Our world's a lot more than 800,000 people, dude.
Yeah, I'd say. But yeah, I don't know, man. Dark and Dark Elevation were just like, why do these shows exist other than the fact that like you need somewhere to throw the people that can't freaking work?
But, I totally understand that. Not having them have real matches kind of negates it, doesn't it?
Right. Well, and on top of that, it's not just like the people who can't work. You're throwing people on there that you don't know what to do with them. And
Sarks is on there a couple times, so there's that.
Yeah, right. You're relegating people to Dark that shouldn't be on there. Like I said, the people who can't work, you throw some of them on Dynamite.
I don't know if you can see it, but a couple weeks ago, one of the big pillar segments, which they're killing the hell out of, by the way. Jungle Boy is talking about, we've all been on Dark except you, MJF. Like, that's a badge of honor or something.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you got to wrestle in front of like 10 people? Cool. Like, that's like all the, like, and I get it. There's a certain, you talk about badge of honor. There is a certain thing like that with wrestlers being on the, like, well, I've been to the indies and you haven't. Like, you didn't pay your dues or whatever. I get that. But it's like, really? Is paying your dues?
If they're a bigger star than you, doesn't that kind of fall apart on you right there?
Yeah, a bit.
Like, Roman's never been to the indies, right?
No, there's a lot of people that
Sure, he's not losing right sleep. Off.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that started right off. Boom, they're in WWE. But, homegrown. So they do have some homegrown talent, man. Like, that for as much crap as they talk back in the day with, it's like, well, all the big WWE stars, they just farmed them from, other places that, they built up first. Like, yeah, sure.
Wasn't that part of the agreement, though? Like, OVW, you build them up, we'll take them?
No, I'm talking like back in the days where they were taken from like the territories, or they'd get stars from WCW and do something big with them or whatever. But it's like, you can't say that argument since like, the late 90s, I would say. Like, what big stars were they quote-unquote stealing? Unless you count the Radicals was like the last big steal, I guess. But
they steal them because I thought they ran to them.
Yeah, basically. I don't know.
Thumb their noses at their last boss.
Well, somebody else that was basically used as a farm league today, we're talking about them. And you can see that with some of the talent on the show. It's like, I remember when they were, back in ROH. Now they're in the big leagues, either again or for the first time. It's been a heck of a show, man. We're going back to Ring of Honor in 2013. You were at the show. I forgot about that one, although I did remember you had mentioned you were there for Steen and Briscoe. I'm like, oh yeah. So
and boys.
What was the atmosphere like for the show?
Oh, it was crazy. Just like you would think.
Yeah, I mean, you were in like you were at, and no matter what anybody says, ROH is still an indie, basically. It's like the king of the indies. You were at an indie show with on WrestleMania weekend or at WrestleMania week, whatever, in the Hammerstein Ballroom. That's pretty
big.
Yeah,
that part is pretty cool.
Assuming that crowd was pretty rabid. They sounded pretty loud a few times. Some of the chants were a little, outdated, I should say.
The scum chants, especially.
Yeah, well, we'll get to some of the things that were said on the show that it's like, my God, this was only 10 years ago. 10 years. And within a decade, there are some things that would not fly today on this show.
We could say that in any show we do, though, dude.
That is correct. But, yeah, I was honestly surprised, because when I think Ring of Honor, I don't think indie-rific crowds saying some effed-up stuff, whatever. But I got to remember, this is New York, and again, Hammerstein Ballroom. So, yeah. We're leading into WrestleMania. You were at that WrestleMania, too, weren't you?
Yep. Well, that was my first one.
I was going to say, obviously, you're at the... Because why would you go out there for Ring of Honor and not WrestleMania?
Well,
although...
I've met people who've done that.
There's a clip on our YouTube. It has got to be buried now. I think it's a short. But if you look up on our YouTube channel, I think it's called Ant Lover. It's me, Greg, and a mutual friend of ours talking about when they went to... Was it Orlando you met this dude?
Yeah.
And not by choice. He kind of forced himself upon people.
He was on the bus on the way to the hotel. Yeah.
Not in the same way he forced himself upon his aunt, but that's a different story.
Well, we don't know that. Hold on. hold on.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be ascribing malice, but, you know.
Allegedly!
But
she was a bitch,
say,
so he took away her WWE slam creep. And there's an innuendo in there, too, but we'll leave that alone.
Oh, man, so... you just go listen to the video. It's something. You meet some characters down at WrestleMania weekend. You and I didn't necessarily. I guess there were a couple people that we quote unquote met. There were some other people that it's like, hey, do you remember so and so from WrestleMania week or weekend or whatever? Because I do.
There's so many I haven't talked about either. By the way, like there was a crazy one in Toronto. I completely forgot. So you're not mentioning this.
Oh man! All right. Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, he was from. I think he said it was. Either Delaware or Iowa, you know, one of those states that don't matter. I just lost.
Oh, we're getting a letter.
Yeah, he said last time he went to an event in Toronto, he said, I really thought about killing somebody. I'm like, you need to get the hell away from me, dude, now.
Wait, what?
That's what he said.
You can't drop that on people.
I'm joking. To be fair, he was sitting next to me at, was it TakeOver? Yeah, it was TakeOver. And you know, we were talking for a minute, so it's not like it was the first thing out of his mouth, but so, yeah, the last time I was here, I almost killed somebody. And I kind of like looked at him, like, is he smiling? Is he smirking? Nope. I forgot about that one. Till, you know.
He's got that dead-eyed look in his face, and you're like,
God.
Okay.
Yep. You need to get the hell away from me, dude.
It's like, all right, I need some context to this story.
I couldn't even pick him out of a lineup to this day. I don't remember what his face looked like. I didn't friend him on Instagram or anything like that, like I did quite a few people. No. Hell no.
I need a little context to that story. You mean like you accidentally, like it's like somebody ran out in front of your car?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't want context to it. I don't.
Yeah, it's like, did you purposely try, like, you just like stopped you? Or like...
Well, it's funny you say that because on our last Dallas trip, my buddy almost killed Tony Storm and Juice Robinson and Ian Riccaboni because they dart out in front of the car.
Mother of God. Jaywalking.
Hey,
some of that would have been a hate crime, so. Man, that's yikes. That's not a good way to spend your WrestleMania week or wait, no, that was Rumble, wasn't it?
That was WrestleMania.
Okay. I'm getting my venues, mixed up here, but either way, so we're going to get into Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, 7 actually. So the, 7th time they did this piggybacking off of, WrestleMania, we'll get into it, but first we need to tell you about the sponsor of the podcast. Oh yeah, they're still going. But first I want to tell you about the sponsor of the podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Mahler Bros Golf. We all want to look good on the golf course, but it often comes at the expense of feeling good. Mahler Bros Golf has polos that look good and feel good. With their lightweight and stretchy material that hugs your body, you will feel cool while looking just as cool. Their polos are guaranteed to make you look better, but it's up to you to golf better. On a hot summer day on the golf course, there's no polo that you would rather wear than Mahler Bros Golf Signature Polos.
Muller Bros. Golf has a large catalog of polos with designs for those who want a loud design and others for those who want a subtle and sleek-looking design. They also have fun t-shirts, hats, tumblers, and so much more to make your golfing experience better. Use code BELLYUP at MullerBros.com for 15% off. Muller Bros. Doesn't just have polos, by the way. They have really fun golf t-shirts that you can wear anywhere. Maybe like that barbecue that your family invited you to, or even that get-together with your friends. Maybe a night out on the town if you want to have fun while looking good and also impressing the local ladies. Make sure to let them know where you got that shirt and wear it proudly. Don't wait to try out your new favorite golf apparel. Upgrade your golf attire with Muller Bros. Get 15% off at MullerBros.com with code BELLYUP. That's 15% off at MAHLERBros.com with code BELLYUP. Turn heads on the golf course or wherever you wear Muller Bros. Polos. Muller Bros. Golf. Look good. Feel good. Feel good. Play good.
And now that we're done with that, we're going to get into our first break. On the other end of this, we got plenty to discuss with Ring of Honor, like I said, piggybacking off WrestleMania weekend. But most of the show, or most of the news, rather, comes from WWE itself, as you might imagine. Right after this.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at @MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at @MainEvent_Marks and at @MainEventCollector.
Get ready to rumble! In your new Main Event Marks merchandise, we've got t-shirts, hoodies, masks, hats, stickers, pins, and much more on our Redbubble store. That's maineventmarks.redbubble.com. You can also pick up some awesome clothing items with the latest updated show graphics on our Bonfire store. That's bonfire.com/store/MainEventMarks. Support your favorite retro wrestling podcast and pick up some cool swag on our Bonfire and Redbubble stores. That's maineventmarks.redbubble.com and bonfire.com/store/MainEventMarks.
By God! Somebody's interrupting the Main Event Marks!
Sit down, JR. It's just me, Kyle Sullivan, a.k.a. Shaggy Von Doom, your host of Here in Puckburg on the Hockey Podcast Network. I know, a hockey show on Main Event Marks. Who would have thought? This is an invasion angle. Somewhere between the Nexus and when WCW tried to invade WWE, you know, somewhere in there. But I'm over here just telling you that one half of your tag team champions over here, Greg, he told his story of his love for the game of hockey over on my show. And if you'd like to hear that story, all you have to do is search Here in Puckburg, wherever you get your podcast, or on YouTube. In the meantime, Shagamania's got to go run wild on some other hockey show. So, just remember, quote the Raven, nevermore. Take your vitamins, say your prayers, and
oh yeah!
Reach for the sky, boy!
The Main Event Marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/MainEventMarks.
And we're back.
We're back.
Do you like your coffee like you like your podcasts? Gimmick and politics free? Well, so do we here at the Main Event Marks, and so do the guys and gals at Coffee Brand Coffee, where they ditch the gimmicks. You see, when you buy your coffee from other roasters, chances are that they've been sitting on the shelf for heaven knows how long. Don't rob yourself of freshness. At Coffee Brand Coffee, they roast to order, ensuring that you get the freshest coffee possible. And as Greg will tell you, that's what counts. Coffee Brand Coffee offers bagged coffee as well as K-cups. And for the non-coffee people, they offer a variety of teas and cocos. Just click on the link down in the podcast description or go to coffeebrandcoffee.com and use our promo code MAINEVENT, all one word, at checkout to get 5% off your order. That's coffeebrandcoffee.com and use the promo code MAINEVENT to save 5% at checkout. It's news and notes time. Cracking anything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, effing crack it. I already cracked open my my monster, so it's sitting before me.
I have sparkling ice caffeine with zero sugar in it.
Oh, well, there you go. It's always something with zero sugar.
That's how I roll now.
Not a knock. I wish I could kick sugar. It just I don't have many addictions, but sugar is one of them addictions that's like
addiction.
It's got the word dick in it.
It's not on the show. Trooper Wears Own, by the way. So.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get into the news and notes, shall we?
That is correct.
Shut the fuck up, Dave.
Everything that guy just says bullshit.
All right.
That's classic.
I will say most of this news I did not get from Dave, but I don't know. I don't know the source, like where I got this news from. I don't know if they got it from Dave. So I will say I think it was Cage Side News or Ringside.
Yeah, they're probably one of his nephews.
Yeah, Cage Side Seats. Excuse me. They do apparently have their own independent reporters and whatnot. So I'm assuming they're not getting all this from Dave, but I'm sure a decent portion of it is. Either way. So despite earlier court victories, WWE have finally settled out of court with Martha Hart's lawsuit for using her late
4 years, huh?
For using her late husband Owen Hart's likeness without her permission in company DVD releases and withholding royalties from their sale. Terms of the settlement were not announced. Well, yeah, I mean, probably part of the settling out of court. It's like, all right, we'll end this. Just, you know, let's not make it public. I will say I get she's like, well, you know, he can't use his likeness without my permission. I don't know about all that because, I mean, he was working for him. And it's like, how are you not going to put him in the DVDs? But if you're not sending him royalties.
Well, I mean, if they don't make a specific DVD of him, I don't.
Right. Yeah, I think that was part of it because they talked about they're like, well, he can be in videos, DVDs, etc. They just can't make a specific Owen Hart, whatever. And they got around that at one point, I believe, by putting out like a Hart Family DVD or something like that.
They made an Owen Hart DVD too. So,
oh, did they? Okay,
they did. Yeah.
So I guess they were able to finally get that done.
It is not on Peacock though. To my knowledge.
I'm not too shocked about that, but. The whole not sending them royalties thing, that kind of goes right up there with Jesse Ventura lawsuit from like the 90s where he sued him and won a crap ton of money because he was on commentary and they're like, well, we own it. You know, we don't have to pay you for it. He's like, the hell you don't. And you want to talk about people who have beaten Jerry McDivitt. Oddly enough, Jesse Ventura was one of those men.
I don't think he was a lawyer yet. I thought he was hired for the steroid trial.
Pretty sure he was around with them before that, but like the steroid trial thing was like his Super Bowl with them, basically, where he really made his bones. But I mean, I could be wrong. If anybody out there is that into WWE,
don't worry, they will.
If you're that into WWE legal, why? I mean, unless you're an actual lawyer yourself, and then you're kind of a law geek.
Because they have nothing else to do while they're hot pockets in the microwave cooking.
Or while their mother's making them their meatloaf for the night. Oh man, we're gonna get another letter.
Hey, we didn't hurl at anyone specifically. So if you send us a letter, you will expose yourself.
Yeah, you're outing yourself,
and you don't want us exposing ourselves.
Exactly. Just like DJ Khaled said, congratulations, you played yourself. But getting into this here, during a WrestleMania week interview, CM Punk has a message for smart marks who are upset over the angle WWE has done with William Moody, better known as Paul Bearer, and his death. In two words, he says, quote, "F*** you."
Okay.
Eloquently said. He follows it up with, quote, "Well, first of all, no, I don't think I'm capable of feeling guilt or any sort of remorse. I think I'm a legitimate sociopath."
Well, that speaks to someone's character.
"And I think that helps my job. I didn't kill the guy, so I got nothing to feel bad about. You know what I mean?" I don't know what I mean. Yeah, and he's not around to say anything about it anyway, but for everybody who knew him very, very well, they say that he would have loved it, end quote. I like that. Well, he's not around to defend himself, so fuck it. God dang,
man. A huge contrast to Eric Bischoff's podcast. He's like, I want to be careful with my words because they're not around to defend themselves. A huge contrast.
Yeah. Right. There are some people he'll make exceptions for with that rule, I found. But although in his defense, I really haven't heard him bury a dead guy.
What's his name? you know, what's his name? Never drew a dime.
Oh, Mike Graham?
Yeah, I was one of the ones.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was one, because he did one of those Eric Fires back.
You heard the audio of why he was talking about it. I was like, well, you know.
He wasn't going out of his way to be like, screw this guy who happens to be dead. Like, he was like, he said something about me. I never got a chance to respond. So here you go. Moving on, more CM Punk here. In yet another interview during WrestleMania week, CM Punk reveals that he wasn't protesting Antonio Cesaro's WrestleMania 29 absence when he wore his shirt at a press conference. Antonio Cesaro, whatever you want to call him.
He wears everybody's shirts.
I know. It's like, you're kind of digging here, man.
The famous pipe bomb, he's wearing Austin's shirt, remember that?
Yeah, and his excuse for this is pretty much the same thing as that one. As he says, quote, it was a clean shirt that I grabbed and I wore that day, end quote. Good enough.
That's how I pick out my shirts.
Right. He also
one of these idiots that lays out my clothes the night before. Oh my God, how embarrassing that be.
I lay out certain things because I wake up like right before I got a clock into work, so I don't want to be fumbling around.
How far do you travel to work?
The next room.
There it is.
Yeah, but I still want to just be prepared. There you go. Hey, my mom doesn't lay it out for me. I pick out my own.
We have no proof of that.
Hey, she lives on the other side of the state.
So
I will send you a picture of my box, whatever that'll prove. But
yeah, that folks,
anyway.
He just admitted he has a box, but okay.
Exactly.
You just bare yourself today.
Hey, if I come out of it, I'm over. He also reveals some potentially disappointing details on his feud with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He said, quote, it's never really been acknowledged within WWE. This isn't me trying to promote something that isn't true, but there was just this hilarious tension in the room with me and Steve when me and Steve were in there, end quote. Also, quote, everyone always goes, I wonder what would happen. What if? And that's all it is. It's fun, end quote.
I still think that's what happened in 2016 when Trump was running for president. I'm not voting for him. They see that name on the box. I wonder what would happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's it was always one of them. I always wanted the match to happen. They sold them in a two pack for you had I actually had you buy that one and send it to me. It was Punk and Austin in a two pack years ago to promote one of those video games.
All Stars,
that was it. Yeah. And
I still have that on 3DS. Yes, I still have 3DS.
It was a fun game. There was one. It was I think it was John Morrison and Macho Man.
Sounds right.
John Morrison had like a big ass Jay Leno chin though, so I'm like, yeah, maybe pass on that one. But the Punk and Austin were both elites, so I was like, I gotta get it.
The elite,
because at the time I couldn't find an elite Punk or Austin anywhere around my area, so that's why I was like, send it to me.
Distribution problems.
Exactly. Well, now I've got like four. I've got like four elite Punks in like four different stages of his career. So, and I've got two or three Austins.
But that's why. But I have every AW Punk.
How many did he come out with? Three.
Three, to my knowledge. Four, if you want to count with Chase, but I don't count Chase's because it's just another version of that one fig. So, yeah. Tights on, then he had long pants, long tights on.
Yeah.
And then that ice cream bar pack one.
You haven't got the two pack with MJF yet?
No, and that's only on ringside too.
Oh, okay. I never bought any of them figures where they put blood all over them and whatever. I just,
I had the Cody one. Because I came in Dustin, I thought that was a good one. So.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. There were some others that were decent. I never bought those. You remember back in the day, WWE had a line of figures where like their hair was blowing a certain way because it was like they were mid move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did that with the current Ultimate Styles.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one with, I think I saw that. Didn't Edge have one like that?
Yeah, and Roman too, I think.
Yeah. I just remember Triple H's figure because his hair was like straight up, like he's in mid pedigree. I'm like, man, that looks goofy. But anyway, staying with CM Punk here, he tweeted that Living Color will play his entrance theme, Cult of Personality, during his walkout and exit from his match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29.
I will never forget, we were in the WrestleMania Superstore at MetLife. Some little kid, he couldn't be more than 8 years old. He sees, I think I was wearing a Punk sweater. He comes up to me and says, "Hey, did you see this? Punk just tweeted this." I'm like, "This 8-year-old kid showed me what he tweeted on Twitter about that band." I still to this day think it's funny as hell. Like, this little kid knew this.
Yeah, it's like, do you know who Living Color is? And they're like, the people who do CM Punk's team. Like, good enough. You got to think in 2013, they call him up and they're like, "Hey, you know, we wanted to ask you if you'd perform," and they're like, "Yes, sold." Like,
they live in New York too, so they're right down the street.
They're like, "Well, you haven't even heard the job yet. Doesn't matter. Need the money. You got us."
We're no longer relevant. We need it.
Yeah, right. That one song has made them like a crap ton of money. I don't think anybody else could name another song of theirs off the top of their head anyway.
Yeah, Cultural Personality Remastered.
Boom. Yeah, there you go. If you're wondering how Paul Bearer's family feels about the angle WWE went with on Monday Night Raw between CM Punk, Paul Heyman, and The Undertaker, Bearer's son Michael made a Facebook post about it. First of all, what I'm referring to here is when he poured the supposedly Paul Bearer's ashes out of the urn and whatever and used them. Yeah, that angle. But anyway, Bearer's son tweeted, quote, "If anyone is wondering, yes, WWE did come to us wanting approval for tonight's storyline. The way it was presented to us was okay. Seeing it on screen was a different story. I don't even know what to say." End quote. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, other people were saying it's like, he probably wouldn't have had a problem with it. I will say, as his son, I could understand feeling a certain kind of way about it. Even if, like, at the time, you're like, it's good. And then when you actually see it happen, you're like, maybe not. But, you know, I've done that.
You have a brain, right? Can't just imagine it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny, but.
I don't know. There are situations where it's like, it sounds cool. And then when you see it, it's like, you feel a little differently about it. But I don't know. In the grand scheme of things it could have done, I don't think it was all that bad. But then again, like I said, I'm not his kid, so. But moving on here, when news came out that the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony broadcast on the USA Network would not feature Mick Foley, both fans and the hardcore legend let out a collective moan. Well, hashtag plans changed. According to the man himself, he will indeed be making the show. Foley teased the news on Twitter saying, quote, "I just got some great news. I will share this incredible retweet in just a few minutes right here on Twitter." Got to get the cheap pop in, even on Twitter. They said, "Get those tears of joy ready." Minutes later, a Santa Claus Twitter account, not joking, tweeted in response, quote, "Don't worry, @RealMcFoley. I had a nice talk with @VinceMcMahon, and your #WWEHOF speech will be televised. All is calm, all is bright," end quote. God dang it.
Got to get it in, huh?
Yep. Hey, Santa Claus! Like, dude, you're such an effing nerd. Like, I love Christmas, but he is obsessed.
Santa's my homie.
I still remember the story he told in a shoot interview about he wanted a special
bro.
He said he wanted a special WrestleMania entrance where he flew in on the back of Santa's sleigh. And he said
in April.
Yeah. He's like, "God dang it, Vince." He's like, "I've seen you do incredible stuff with zip lines and sets and everything else." He's like, "I want to be flown in on Santa Claus's sleigh." And he said, Vince said something along the lines of, "Well, damn it, Mick. How the hell are we going to pick that sleigh up? You're such a fat ass."
And, I mean, Shawn Michaels is only like 150, 160 at WrestleMania 12. So,
yeah. Because he literally said something about, like, he's like, "We're not going to be able to get that damn thing in the air with your fat ass inside of it." And Mick was like, "All right, good point." And he walked away. Like, damn.
He must not really have wanted it, huh?
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, like, not only is it just Mick Foley, but it's like you got a certain persona and whatever, and everybody's going to see you flying in on the back of Santa's sleigh, as you said, in April. It's just like, what the F is going on here? Like, no.
Hell no.
Well, how about this? What if Santa Claus was flying it? Maybe?
Shut up. You should be slapped with that.
Santa Claus, man, come on! Anyway. There is still
rumor has he has the biggest balls of them all. Just a rumor.
Yeah, just a rumor. There's still an outside chance of a Caitlyn versus AJ Lee match for the Divas title being added to the WrestleMania 29 card. It's also possible that...
God, hear our cries if don't put this on. What is that?
It's also possible that they will be added to the tag team title match, which is Team Hell No against Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston, with a possible all titles change hands stipulation.
No, that happens. Hold on, now, to be fair, they preface it with saying it's possible.
Yeah.
Got to give them that.
None of that freaking happened. I didn't
say it was going to happen. So.
Was Vince Russo coming up with that? Bro, we'll put him in a six-person match, bro, and all titles change hands. Like, no? Whatever. But sticking with the women, WWE is back to pushing ideas for new shows. The latest the company wants feedback on is a reality-based program centering on the Divas. In fact,
WWE... Oh, God, it's going to happen.
I know. You're like, oh, no, it's coming. In fact, WWE.com is asking for fans to vote on what they want the show to be called. The options are, you ready for this?
No.
The options are Divalicious, Diva Diaries, or Diva Complex.
Doesn't Diva Complex just make them sound like an annoying person?
Yeah, it's like that could go many ways.
I'm sure there's a more colorful word, but I ain't going there.
All in all, I'm going to say,
right.
I mean, the show happens. It's not called any of that crap.
Okay. You didn't say the actual name, did you? Okay. So they had no idea what it was.
Exactly. Yeah, obviously this would become to be known as Total Divas, as we all know, and yay. Which, yeah. by the way, Greg, that was not scripted, okay? None of it. That was totally real. Don't you question it.
This is real. I also want to point out it's the debut of Roxanne Perez.
Really?
Yeah, she was on there as a fan, talking to Talia, saying, I want to be a wrestler.
Oh, my gosh.
So you never know these little girls, it couldn't even be a boy, but little girls are going up to these women. Oh, I want to be a wrestler. It's a joke. Ha-ha, you'll never do it. Really?
Yeah. There's footage out there of Bayley doing that, of AJ Lee doing that. I mean, there you go, man. Who?
Cora Jade.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, you see all these ones, like, they actually follow through with it. Like, there's pictures of... Is MJF posing with CM Punk?
Yeah, with that cheesy smile.
And he's like, I invited you to my bar mitzvah, and you didn't show. So now we're gonna feud. Dude, that should have been the catalyst for the feud.
There's a thing. It's the guy, he was Griff on Boy Meets World. Adam, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He was on episode of Jimmy Kimmel, and he, like, Mark Hamill's like his idol, and they surprised him with him. And Mark Hamill's like, I'm sorry I didn't come to your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I had two other birthdays, a bar mitzvah and a supermarket opening that day. I just couldn't go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Michael Cole's heel run as an announcer is widely reviled among pro wrestling fans, but for the very first time, the man himself has come out to admit that it ran its course long before WWE made the decision to turn him back to a straight announcer.
I feel like what turned him back to a regular announcer was the night Lawler had his heart attack.
Yep, that's actually, It's apparently after Jerry Lawler's heart attack live on air, Cole dropped the heel act. He said in an interview, quote, I think it was the right time. The heel run had run its course.
And if that's not a sign from God, what is?
Yeah, right. He said, I think it went on much longer than it should have, end quote. Yeah, I would say.
I was among the few that didn't hate it. I thought it was kind of funny. But
dude, there was some.
I guess anything is funny that's a deviation from the horrible Cole, so that's really not saying much. But
right. But there were some nights I had to watch Raw on mute, because I religiously watched it back then. I could not listen to him and Lawler just bicker throughout the whole freaking show. Like, dude, enough already, man. Or when JR was there, he would go on with him. Like, can you call the match? Like, that'd be a revelation. Calling the wrestling match. How about that?
Revelation is him calling a wrestling match good. Not including now, by the way. Cool's really right. Good now, but...
Well, he actually said he was, like, in the gym one day, and he gets a call, and it's Jerry Lawler, and he's like, hey, Cole, I'm sorry. And he's like, sorry about what? And he's like, I killed your heel heat. He was like, I have a heart attack? Like, you're fine, man. He's like, plus, I didn't care. He's like, time for that to wrap up, man. Ah, man. But I do have... Like, oh, go ahead.
It's like the wrestling god saying, you better stop this crap, or we're taking Lawler from you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not the king. Man, do you remember that weird, was it the King of the Ring promo? Or it was like a commercial where he thought he was in heaven, then come to find out he's in hell, and all these other like, demons start beating him up. Like, what the? don't want to think about that one. That was a real commercial, ladies and gents. I can't remember what show it was we talked about that on, but it happened. Well, we've only got one more story here, and it's actually from Ring of Honor. And it's about to change something on the show we're about to watch, but I feel with the subject matter, it should mark the return of a certain segment to the podcast that you and I like. It is, that is one big pile of shit.
What the f*** is this piece of shit?
That is one big pile of shit.
Oh, yeah. Do you care to take a guess who the subject is for this one?
Vince Russo.
In Ring of Honor?
Oh, it's for Ring of Honor. Okay. Don Callis.
No, actually, I don't know if he's here at this time. But no, it is somebody else who used to be in WWE, but we'll get to it. Though Charlie Haas was planning to retire after the Ring of Honor pay-per-view in New York, it was sped up when he got into a backstage fight with jobber Grizzly Redwood, and ROH management decided on the spot that his services were no longer required. Charlie announced his retirement on Twitter just hours after his surprising defeat. To local independent wrestler Jeff Neal at Ring of Honor's house show in Asheville, North Carolina. It is believed that Haas was picking on Grizzly and became enraged when the enhancement talent stuck up for himself. ROH booker Hunter Johnson, better known by his ring name Delirious, was one of the people who pulled Haas off of Redwood. His temper flared up too, verbally ripping Charlie before telling him that his services for the evening were no longer required and to leave the building. However, well, oh, go ahead.
I'm just trying to figure out like a couple things here. You go off on a jobber. Two, Delirious isn't big enough to pull anybody off anybody.
he might be deceptively strong or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because I've met him. He's a little dude. He's like your size.
Yeah, he looks pretty small. I used to think he kind of looked like Austin Aries. And I'm like, you know, you never seen him, like, because he's under a mask. It's like, you never seen him and Austin Aries at the same place at the same time.
I don't think I want to see Austin Aries anywhere. But
no, not anymore. But, however, that didn't happen as Haas returned shortly thereafter and insisted that he would do the match whether they wanted him to or not, and he was a professional. You know, the guy that just
I don't think it works like that, dude.
Right. Also, after you just got into a backstage fight and you're like, I'm a professional. But
how's that work, decision, by the way? I'm going to do it whether you want me to or not. Yeah, well, like, I'm not going to have you go out there. But.
Yeah, it's like, do you not have security? Apparently, they backed down. The decision was made by ROH management to allow him to perform, but never to use him ever again, fearing that trying to stop him would create an even bigger scene. There was no problem with the match itself, but his post-match retirement promo caused more headaches as he went into business for himself with a vicious burial of Johnson, announcer Kevin Kelly, and storyline commissioner Nigel McGuinness.
Wait, he buried Kevin Kelly?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Then you can please die. But in particular, Haas smeared McGuinness by repeatedly screaming about him having hepatitis C, which is a lie. As he revealed in his documentary, The Last of McGuinness, Nigel once had hepatitis B, a big difference, and he has since had it cured.
Man. What a little kid's daycare going on back there, huh?
Yeah, this is like AEW type stuff here. Although
there's no Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, right. Although I will say, at least AEW doesn't give the guy who they just pretty much fired a live mic. Good God. Like, I realize this wasn't televised, but you couldn't cut the mic. It's not like you control production or anything. Like,
by 2013, whether it's on TV or not, it's going to be on TV.
Yeah. It's like you just let him go out there, bury the world. You don't cut his mic, cut the lights, nothing. You're just like, let it happen. And then, like, Nigel McGuinness is deceptively, like, bigger, like, in real life. Because looking at him on TV, I'm like, he's a pretty little dude. And, like, I know I'm small, obviously, but he's, like, pretty damn big. Like, I was standing next to him. I'm like, wow, okay. He's probably taller than you, actually. And
I met him. Yeah.
Yeah.
At a WrestleCon.
I thought he was smaller than you, but nope. People that don't know, Greg is like not on the short side. I am. He's not. But either way, that does it for that. And that was, by the way, the nice returning segment of that is one big pile of shit. I never thought Charlie Haas was a good guy. I don't know. Like, I met him once.
Remember that time Cornette was on commentary? He goes, Charlie Haas is pissed off. It must be Wednesday.
Yes. I love that. And it's very true. And, like, Shelton is the nicest guy you'll ever freaking meet.
There's a reason one of them's still on TV today, and the other one's, where the hell he's at? Oh, I know what Haas is doing. He's making an appearance. And this is not a knock, because I love it, but he's making appearances with a major wrestling podcast. He was at the live show we were at last year in Dallas.
And he's back at home with his hot-ass wife, so there's that. Good for him, I guess. You know, somebody's got to win some way.
Now I see why he's always pissed off.
I always wondered, why are you always pissed off? Look at who you're married to, man. And apparently he's independently wealthy, so he doesn't need to wrestle. Like, life is good for Charlie Haas. And then he just walks around like the world just crapped in a sandwich. Like, who peed in your Wheaties, man? Because I always have this story of when my dad and I went to a Ring of Honor show one time. Like, he didn't know anybody. I watched Ring of Honor. He didn't. But he knew them because he watched WWE. He's like, oh, cool. World's Greatest Tag Team. We went over, got their autograph, and talked to him for a minute. Dude, Charlie didn't even look at us. He's like, his eyes are all over the place. He looks like he's bored. Shelton's smiling, looking right at us, chatting with us. I'm like, wow, okay, big contrast here.
Yep.
But anyway, that does it for the news and notes. On the other end of this, we're going to get into the event at hand.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at MainEvent_Marks and at MainEventCollector.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan McCarthy, and I'm the host of the No Credentials Required podcast. Start your work week with the Monday Drop-In, where I talk about the sports beat in the Capital District, also known as the Mighty 518, as well as Metro New York sports from an upstate point of view. I also give a life lesson from a weekly sports story, so you might learn something from that. I also have a midweek podcast where I interview different sports personalities and talk about a wide array of topics. Take a listen and subscribe on your preferred podcast app, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. Also, check out our social media channels on Twitter and Instagram, BellyUpNCR, and Facebook.com/BellyUpSportsNCR. We're a part of the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network in association with Godzilla Media. No credentials required, where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Hey gang, it's Commissioner Cooper of TSS Fantasy. We are the fantasy show of the people. Expert fantasy advice, free contests, leading expert medical and legal analysis, and most importantly, you. Interact with us on all social media platforms or check us out at tssfantasy.com. You can hear us on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many more. Check out the fun today and be a part of the most interactive fantasy show around, TSS Fantasy, the fantasy show of the people.
Event marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/MainEventMarks.
And we're back.
We're back.
It's Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor 7. took place April 5th, 2013 at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York, New York. It was a packed house of 1,800 people. Can't get that many people in the ballroom. You know, it is what it is. They never did say what their pay-per-view rating was.
Really, I don't think this was on pay-per-view. This was on iPay-per-view, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they don't really release those numbers. And I didn't know this before, because, like, you can't find, like, straight numbers for TNA. And somebody revealed before, they're like, well, they're not publicly traded, so they don't have to reveal those numbers, whereas WWE does. So, plus, WWE...
And their numbers are terrible now on pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well,
like non-existent.
Well, WWE also doesn't have anything to hide with their ratings and their numbers and everything. So, TNA clearly did. They're like, yeah, it's in the ballpark of like 30,000 to 80,000. You know, somewhere in there.
Could be a million. Could be two.
Yeah, right. It's somewhere in between. But you're after a business. Pretty... Right. Well, you know why? Fuck you, that's why. But after a pretty cool but very long opening package, we come into the sold-out Hammerstein Ballroom. Commentary is being done by Kevin Kelly and Caleb Seltzer, who I'm not entirely convinced is not Dave Meltzer in a mask.
Well, actually,
yeah, he pulls it off. It was me all along.
Plans changed. It was me.
All. Plans changed, pal. It was me all along.
Holy crap.
Oh, man. Who the hell is Caleb? I don't remember.
Honestly, that might have been more intriguing than Vince saying it was me all along. We all knew it. It was the worst kept secret ever.
That went over like a wet fart. But who the hell is Caleb Seltzer? I don't remember this dork.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it looked like Kevin Kelly just brought his cousin to work with him. He's like, oh, I need a broadcast partner. Caleb, you doing anything this weekend? Come on. Well, before the first match starts, R.D. Evans comes out with QT Marshall. And this is back when... we can't escape this dork. By the way, this was back when he was QT Marshall, not QT Marshall. There you go.
Wait, so that was the thing. Yeah, okay. That's why Cornette still calls him that, because that's how he knows him. Okay.
Right. R.D. tells the crowd tells him to shut the F up, but he does not. R.D. says it. He went through the world of wrestling to find QT's partner. He teases various big stars that were supposedly wanting to team with this balding loser.
We're not
loser.
Buying it at all, by the way.
Yeah, right.
We're laughing it off.
Dude, QT is like, he's got a dad bod. He's balding. Like, I know. Dresses I just
like Charlie Harper and Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, right. He's wearing a robe that says God's Gift. It looks like he just can't, like, he's walking out of the bathroom and back.
I have never in my life wanted to return a gift from God, ever.
Right.
Till now.
I feel like this is like he got that robe himself so that when he, like, gets out of the shower, he, like, can tease his wife. He's like, you don't want some of this? Come on now, I'll go grill a mean burger afterwards. Anyway, but R.D. says he ultimately decided on himself. Yeah, because, you know, what's better than QT Marshall is R.D. Evans teaming with him. Got it.
Why are you saying this sarcastically?
Oh, I don't know. Because they suck. The whole thing sucks. QT does not seem very psyched about this, by the way.
Would you?
No. I wouldn't be psyched if I was QT Marshall, but that's me. But this is QT Marshall and R.D. Evans taking on the team of ACH and Tadarius Thomas, a.k.a. Where the fuck are these guys?
Where is ACH now? That was Jordan Miles, right?
Yeah. He's the one that claimed WWE was super racist. Yeah. Said WWE was racist and that everybody else was racist. And that became his gimmick after a while. It's just like everybody was racist. And he was better than everybody.
He was a fan of New Jack, so.
And he also said that he was more talented than everybody. So that's why he couldn't get work.
Is New Jack on the list? Because I'll give him that.
Well, we've heard this before, man. He was too good. So they couldn't hire him to make everybody else look bad.
Right, yeah. That said the same crap is back on TV. What's his name? That little guy from Rewater? The short...
Cheeseburger? No.
No, no. He wears the octopus mask.
Oh, Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah, I think he's back on either AEW or Ring of Honor. Not on Dynamite, though, but... Or is it Impact? He's somewhere.
I think he's in Impact with his wife. Like, dude, just stay there, man. Like, he's a good wrestler, but like, the world is not clamoring for more Jonathan Gresham, man. I will.
So,
you know,
can we actually call him a vanilla midget, or is that no?
Oh, good God!
Because he is.
I will say,
direct your letters at me. Comes on me.
I will say, I got to go a little easy on him, whatever, because he said he was. I don't know if this was self-induced or whatever. I'm not going to throw stones with that. But he said he went through like a huge bout with depression and gained a crap ton of weight and whatever there for a while. Which is weird because while he's doing that, his wife is getting into like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of shape. So
yeah, right.
But
look like she could bench press a damn mountain.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so he was sharing pictures. I've never seen someone can both have a beer gut and abs at the same time. It was kind of weird, but he did. And yeah, he said he gained a lot of weight. Yeah, but either way, it looks like he pulled himself out of it. So good for him with that one. But to Darius Thomas, like this dude just like disappeared and he's like gone forever, bro.
I had forgotten all about him until this right here.
Right. I'm like, oh yeah, you were a thing. Kind of, sort of. This goes about
once upon a time.
Yeah. In the end, Artie gets kicked out of the ring. QT gets hit with various kick combos, and then ACH hits. What? This is a hell of a name. He hits ACH's big thing on QT. For
hell yeah!
That's the name of his finisher.
No, they I didn't hear him call it that though.
Yeah, they drove it. Caleb Seltzer drove it home on commentary. It's ACH's big thing.
I will say this. I might have missed a lot of things they said because I wasn't watching it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this happens right here. You know, like when you're there, you're like looking at other stuff. So I might have missed some stuff on commentary.
That was hilarious. I'm like, he just calls it ACH's big thing. I mean, there's some innuendo there, but whatever. Uncle Dave gave this Trace stars. I gave it 2.5. I thought it was average. Let's say you.
I gave it 3. I thought it was really fun.
It was fun. I mean, RD got his ass kicked throughout the whole thing, you know, as you do.
Oh, I wasn't complaining about that.
QT held his own for a little bit, but basically this was a stunt show for ACH and Tadarius, so.
Not wrong.
The only thing I really remember about ACH is his theme was kind of fun, but he was a huge nerd for Dragon Ball Z. Like, all of his attires looked like Goku's outfit.
Cue the New Day.
Yeah, right. But after the match, RD Evans goes off on QT Marshall for losing. They eventually get over it, and RD helps QT to the back.
Nothing happens.
No. Who would have cared if it did?
Well, I'm not saying I would have cared, but, like, you know, if something was going to happen, wouldn't this be the show for it to happen at?
Yeah. Got to have that big blow off between QT Marshall and RD Evans.
See, now when you say it like that, yeah. Asshole.
I mean, I'm not wrong. But random music hits. You can tell they literally just Googled royalty-free rap music. They threw it up.
You know what I put on there? It's funny you said that. I put, this sounds like something that Peacock would dub over for, like, you know, somebody with that genre of music.
Right.
Like, I can see them playing this throughout a New Jack match. To replace that Dr. Dre song.
Oh, God. It almost sounds to me like something like what Shelton eventually came back to WWE using. Remember that? This is like a generic rap beat. Okay.
Yeah, one of the cool songs all wrestling, and they strip and give them that.
I know. I'm like, was that owned by somebody? You don't own it anymore? Or did you just feel like, God dang it, pal, time for a change?
Okay, according to Cardona and Myers, when they wanted, Cardona specifically, when he wanted his old. Oh, they wanted that song in the middle of it.
Oh, that rocks, dude.
Yeah, and they told them they couldn't use it because it has to be updated for sound quality.
What?
Or something like that. That's what they said. And then I guess that Cardona said he got in some trouble being a smartass and saying, well, you know, Jeff Hardy's theme was on the same CD and you're using that.
He's not wrong.
So I don't know if that's the thing or what.
Yeah. Come on, man. Like, that song kicked all the ass. I love that song. It was funny because, like, they were like not like a top tag team or anything. And it was like that song hits, and it's like, oh, out comes Ryder and Hawkins. And I like both those guys, but their push was not like top tier level or anything.
It's crazy that now they'd be the most over team if they went back.
I know, right? Dude, when they reformed after Kurt Hawkins' dumb losing streak crap, when they reunited, fans loved it. They were over like Rover, man. I still think it was funny when Hawkins started wearing the Edge ripoff tights. That was pretty cool. But anyway, that random music hits and Shelton Benjamin comes to the ring alone. Even commentary's thrown off by this. They're like, huh? What's this music? Who the hell is this? And then he comes out. They're like, oh, Shelton. Look, I liked the they called themselves wrestling's greatest tag team in Ring of Honor. I liked the song they used. But there was no way that would have fit Shelton coming out alone. All right. It was, if anybody goes and I think it was called Beat You Down or something like that. Yeah. If anybody hears it, it definitely fit Charlie more than it did Shelton. I'll put it that way. But Shelton says he's got some bad, he's got some bad news. and Charlie Haas is not there tonight to face him, work with him, whatever. And then he says he doesn't have a match. And points out Cheeseburger at ringside to get in the ring. Shelton gives Cheeseburger a hand.
How many times has this been done in this venue, by the way? How many times did ECW do this?
Yeah.
I hate the death, man.
This is very ECW-esque, this whole segment.
I was just saying, not the show, because there's actually good wrestling on here.
Well, yeah, exactly. But Shelton gives Cheeseburger a hand for standing up to Charlie Haas in the past. He's interrupted by Mike Bennett, Maria, and brutal Bob Evans. And as we all know, Bob Evans is a star of this here show. They came out and I was like, my God, I forgot about Bob Evans.
Never has a name Brutal Bob been more apropos.
Yeah.
Because then you see him wrestle or you hear him talk, boom.
Exactly. It's brutal, but not in the way they mean it. But Mike Bennett tells
not
the ROH...
Brock Lesnar brutal.
Right.
We're talking Mike grandma getting out of the tub brutal.
Wow. And you having to see it. But Mike Bennett tells the ROH fans not to cheer for him now that he's finally back from injury. He then says that it's insane that he doesn't have a match on tonight's show. He insults Cheeseburger and says that he's going to announce who he's going to sign with. But Cheeseburger grabs the mic from him and he insults every member of that threesome group. And then he gets cold cocked by Mike Bennett for insulting Maria, having to be carried to the back. Then he has to be carried to the back. Shelton Benjamin says, I guess I got my match. And he socks Bennett in the face.
In the face! In the face!
And that leads to Shelton Benjamin versus Mike Bennett. He's got Maria Bennett, just Maria at this time, and brutal Bob Evans in his corner. By the way, was his name the Prodigy?
No, it was the Miracle, right?
That was Impact. Right here, because he kept saying, I think he said his nickname was the Prodigy at the time. Like, we got a much better looking Prodigy.
I clearly didn't listen
nowadays.
To much. I watched all the matches, but I clearly missed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I remember that was his first nickname. And then, like, he kept going on about how he was a movie star or whatever. It's like, you've never been in anything. Like, if you're going to go with that gimmick, at least make it somewhat realistic. Like he never did music. He was never in a
Maybe
movie
he did
or
a
show.
Voiceover for like a educational show or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay up, drugs, kids.
Wow. Too deep. My God. You said that.
It's okay. Clean himself up now. Good for him.
But this one is just over 7.5 minutes. During the match, Bennett mocks CM Punk, letting us know the bigger stars are on the other channel this weekend.
Perfect.
Another ECW thing.
Yep. Yeah. In this venue.
Yep. Brutal Bob gets involved behind the ref's back once, but Maria gets up on the apron to make out with Mike Bennett, and then she turns her back to the ring to gyrate around, you know, like you do.
I'm okay with that.
When Bennett gets taken out, Shelton gets close, and Maria doesn't realize she's rubbing and grinding up on Shelton Benjamin. The commentator
You didn't
Seltzer,
realize the pecs? he's built as hell, really? Not that Bennett's dragging or anything, but
I was going to say, to be fair, clear, Bennett was pretty ripped.
It's clear as day, though, is a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you caught this. Seltzer, a comment that would never fly today. I mean, this whole thing wouldn't fly today. But Seltzer,
yeah,
commentary,
I caught it.
Says that Maria has jungle fever. Mother of God.
I want to say that movie was based in Brooklyn, because I think Spike Lee did it, right? So it fits the venue, at least. I thought. I don't know. I could be wrong on that.
You're trying to make this better.
I don't know why.
But she eventually realizes it and gets shocked because she sees the hands, you know? Because unlike WCW, we know Mike Bennett is not black. WCW
see,
apparently...
See, 1997, by the way. Now in the archives, you'll get what we mean. Yeah, maybe right. The black man is Sting. Maybe.
Hey,
it could be the real one. You never know.
And this was back when they were complaining he didn't have a good tan.
So one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. What is going to be the real Sting? It could even be the African-American man. Well, okay. I'll buy that.
But yeah, she eventually realizes it, gets shocked. Shelton ducks, and Bennett super kicks her. The only thing I have to say about this whole thing is...
What the fuck?
Come on.
Yeah.
You don't say that on WCW, ECW things much, but, you know, there we are.
Yeah. Well, in the end, Bennett sits on Shelton's shoulders during a sunset flip attempt. Brutal Bob holds Mike's hands to keep him down, and Bennett wins. Uncle Dave gave it deuce and a half. I gave it two. What say you?
Oh, deuce, huh? That's what I'll give it.
It was a match. Nothing to write home about. It was one of those, oh, yeah, those guys were there. They were pushing Mike Bennett there for a while, like they were going to do something with him, and then just, meh. Yeah, I thought Impact was, like, going to go big with him, and then he ended up going to WWE, and that dude just, I know they say, oh, you're going to make, you know, something with what you got. Like, they saddled him with the worst crap they possibly effing could. Nobody was going to get, like, they literally took his balls off.
Well, hold on. Did you see his wife, though? He's already won life, so.
Yeah. It's like, dude, at least he got his rehab paid for. That's all I can say.
Hey, he's one of the few people to admit that, by the way. We're all still craps on the day before. Yeah, they paid for it for me. I wasn't even there.
Yeah. But up next, we have this one. It is Unbreakable. Michael Elgin taking on the greatest first-generation wrestler of all time.
Hell yes.
It is a number one contenders match for the ROH World Heavyweight title. Goes just shy of 19 minutes. So, note I had. I love the "this is wrestling" chance. Like, no, this is NASCAR.
So here's how I took it. I felt like we were finally getting some wrestling. That's how I heard it.
Yeah. I mean, this is a damn good match, and I'll get to the review at the end. But so when Elgin locks in the crossface, we get a Chris Benoit chant. Did you hear that?
I didn't do it. I'm sitting there going, oh my God.
It sounded like that person got booed, too.
I don't know why, but it was very audible. I don't think it was in the front row.
Yeah.
I think it was somewhere right next to a camera, and the microphone picked it all up.
Yeah, somebody was chanting Chris Benoit, and then I heard some people going, boo, like a few moments later. Like, damn, dude. But, you know, keep it classy, New York. Anyway, in the end, Elgin hits a super Elgin bomb, followed by a spinning back fist, a buckle bomb, and then an Elgin bomb for good measure to make sure Lethal is good and dead. Uncle Dave and I both gave this 4 stars. What say you?
I gave it 4. This was the second best match of the night.
Oh, yeah. This was fantastic. I love this. I've seen both these men wrestle live in Ring of Honor. My favorite.
I wish I could see Jay Lethal wrestle now, but. Instead of having a match on Dynamite, they went and visited the Briscoes' farm and looked like idiots doing farm work and stuff. That's a great use of Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking the Briscoes' farm either. Okay, whatever. But it's like Jay Lethal should be wrestling, not sitting around in freaking overalls. And,
yeah. Effing stupid, man.
Jay Lethal should be one of your top guys, Tony Khan.
Jay Lethal cannot be seen on camera without Sanjay Dutt and Jeff Jarrett and Zippy the Pinhead.
Yep. It's a crime how good this man is, and he's not being used.
I know.
It's a crime and a half.
He was the guy in Ring of Honor for, like, what, almost 2 years, I think.
He got super over doing a Macho Man cosplay, which should have been a joke.
Right. Yeah, well, first that, and then Ring of Honor used him as, like, their top guy for, you know, like I said, about 2 years, give or take. And then...
World champion, TV champion, tag champion, he'd done everything. Everything.
Yeah. Yep. But no, he's relegated to Dark and a four-man, a stable with people who don't effing matter. Whatever. Makes me mad.
That's fine. You're good, man. Great, even. Oh, yep. Good's underselling that, man.
Very true. But after the match, Scum hits the ring to beat down Lethal and Elgin. Scum is Rhino, Cliff Compton, Rhett Titus, Jimmy Jacobs, and Jimmy Rave.
The Cliff Compton.
Yeah, right. Oh my god, it's Cliff Compton!
Run down that list again, one by one. Who's in it?
Rhino.
Yeah, he's been all over.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a wrestling whore, but he's good. You know, he still gets eyeballs. Hey, he showed up at a little indie promotion here in Dayton, and they packed the freaking house. So, but anyway, him, Cliff Compton.
Former WWE guy.
Yeah, was he Deuce or Domino?
Was he Domino?
Yeah.
Oh, freaking no.
The only reason I remember
Domino. Cherry, she was all the way live.
Oh, hell yeah. The only reason I remember he was Domino was because, again, a local promotion thing. A guy was cutting a promo on him and said in their match he was going to knock him down like a stack of dominoes.
Oh, God. You know what? I just had another flashback to Antlover. He was talking to us about Wrestle Crate, and he said, dude, they had Cliff Compton dominoes. How brilliant was that? He was, proud of this. He was proud as hell of this, dude.
Oh, my gosh. That Cliff Compton dominoes? What? Man, how often? Where can you get those? Shut the hell
up. Yeah, where can you get those? I want to see the hell away from that store.
But anyway, Rhett Titus, another one.
That's actually a Ring of Honor original and only, I think.
Right. He was fine, but, like, dude, he was painfully thin. I'm like, dude, do you eat?
Fishy white. Couldn't weigh more than 100 pounds.
That was one thing he was not, was fishy white. He had a Starrcade made of...
Yeah, but it works with the whole thing.
Right. Jimmy Jacobs, who got fired from the WWE for, being on Being the Elite.
And you've been back and forth a couple times, right?
Yeah. The Zombie Princess. And finally, Jimmy Rave, who unfortunately has passed away. The only thing, yeah, I know, what he had to go through was awful.
Actually, what he had to go through was, like, it wasn't just the death part. It's like, man.
Yeah. It's like, but he lost an arm, he lost a leg, and then he lost the other arm, the other leg, and then he died. Ugh, like, man, that was awful. But anyway, yeah, I brought us down enough with that one. But Scum comes out, beats down Lethal and Elgin or whatever, and then Steve Corino tells Ring of Honor to get their team out there and make the funeral arrangements because Scum is about to kill the company.
He yells it like it's a crackhead, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, who did kill the company? I'm trying to think. Well, because didn't they got shut down for a while, didn't they? Can we claim COVID?
Yeah, I think they did.
There you go. But this team is Scum, people I just mentioned, taking on Team Ring of Honor, which is Mark Briscoe, Mike Mondo, Cedric Alexander, Caprice Coleman, and BJ Whitmer in a 10-man war.
Caprice Coleman, that's the announcer now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he is damn good. I wish they could get rid of X-Men and put him on there.
I've heard him actually talk a few times and or do commentary a few times. Yeah, he's pretty damn good. I was shocked. And the only reason
him and Ian Riccaboni are just great together.
Yeah. The only reason I was shocked is because I never really heard him talk. So I was like, okay. Well, he's pretty damn good, man. But
if you go back and watch Corey Graves in NXT, I wouldn't think that guy was gonna be a good announcer.
Yeah, right.
So I guess you never know.
Careful who you say that to.
I know.
But Cedric Alexander, now the commentator. BJ Whitmer.
Cedric Alexander is now wrestling.
Yeah, so Cedric Alexander is WWE. BJ Whitmer.
He actually got on TV last week.
Well, how about that? But Whitmer's kind of an indie guy. Always hung around, was always there.
He's currently in AEW, I believe. At least he's breaking up fights every week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, I mean, this is going to sound like I'm knocking him, but I'm really not. At his age, I mean, that's good use for him, because he is a good hand. He's not, you know, he was never going to be a star or anything. He was a mainstay in the like a Midwestern indie scene for years and years. Mark Briscoe, obviously, we know him. And then Mike Mondo. That one threw me for a loop.
For anybody, you know who he is?
Anybody who doesn't remember, he was Mikey in the Spirit Squad.
He's the original John Silver.
Oh my God. What's
I'm getting trouble.
It's kind of weird. But yeah, now that you say that, yeah.
Not a knock. John Silver is one of my guilty pleasures, but so it's not a knock, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was in Spirit Squad and here. He was looking svelte, great shape, whatever. Then he goes back to WWE to when they brought the Spirit Squad back for a minute. And he's like overweight, bald. I'm like, what the hell happened to you, Mikey?
You might have paid him enough money to buy Twinkies.
Yeah, right. He went on the Braden Walker diet.
Holy crap, you said that.
Between jobs, he beefed up. Anyway.
And he got sober. He became the designated driver. At least that's the joke James Storm made.
Wow. But this goes for 11 and a half minutes to Caleb Seltzer. Steve Corino drops the big R word on him. I don't know if you heard that.
I did not.
Now Steve Corino repeatedly calls him, I'll bleep it out for anybody that gets triggered. But on commentary, Steve Corino repeatedly calls Caleb Seltzer a retard.
Why?
They were fighting, and he's like, oh, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Wait, when did this happen? That. I must have missed something completely.
Yeah, you gotta listen to commentary on this match, dude. Steve Corino is like fighting with him throughout, well, up until a moment I'm going to get to here in a minute. But he's fighting with him throughout the whole thing on commentary. And
it's Seltzer's mother or something.
Well, Seltzer is going with, you know, like all Team Ring of Honor, obviously. And Corino is like, oh yeah, you would think that. Oh, you're just a big retard and whatever. Like, oh my gosh, things that wouldn't fly again.
Hey, it's Ring of Honor. It's New York.
Yeah, that's.
I shouldn't say that though. I don't think Ring of Honor is notorious for doing stuff like that though. So, but it is New York.
That is correct.
But anyway. I couldn't believe he actually said that on commentary. But in the middle of the match, this goes on because Corino beats the piss out of Caleb Seltzer and then gets in the ring. God. BJ Whitmer. Yeah, BJ Whitmer gets handcuffed to the bottom rope, and Mike Mondo gets powder in the eye. In the end, Caprice Coleman eats a gore from Rhino, leading to a scum victory. Uncle Dave gave this 3.5. I gave it 2.5. I thought it was very average. What say you?
I gave it 2. I was getting bored.
Yeah. It was just nothing but chaos, man. And I know, 10-man war. I get it. But I just, not my kind of thing. But Steve Corino tells the fans that they've been cheering for the wrong guys. And tonight, Scum will ensure that Kevin Steen leaves New York City still the Ring of Honor champion. You know,
let's not get ahead.
you want me to hit it? Anyway, we now get video highlights from years ago where Jay Briscoe got multiple Ring of Honor title shots against Xavier, Samoa Joe, Takeshi Morishima, Nigel McGuinness, Jerry Lynn, and Roderick
Strong. Just say everybody.
Yeah. These were, he pretty much faced the entire Ring of Honor catalog at that point and lost. During the video package, we hear someone doing a mic check and giving instructions to production. Good grief, this is pay-per-view. Did you catch that?
I did.
Because at first, I
actually had to rewind it a little bit. Like, did I just hear that?
Yeah, I'm like, is this part of it? And I'm like, nope. Because at first, he's like, check 1, 2, check 1, 2. And then he's like, yeah, we're going to do such and such. I'm like, oh my gosh. And nobody catches this and is hitting buttons like furiously in the back.
I sure wonder if they're watching it in the back.
Yeah, right. Was Jim Cornette still here at the time? Because I feel like he would have been pulling his hair out.
I don't know if he was there yet. I don't know. I don't know the history of him there.
Well, no, he was definitely there, like at least before this, because he was talking about, well, when I, you know, we made Kevin Steen champion. So, you know, that's how much I hated him. Ring says return to Ring of Honor and OVW 2009 through 2012. So I think he just left. Yeah. Okay. On October 8th, 2012, it was reported that Cornette was replaced with Hunter Johnson. Okay. So he just left the company not long ago. After more recap videos, Nigel McGuinness comes out to join Kevin Kelly on commentary. I'm just going to say that's an upgrade. By the way, where is Nigel now?
He's back in Ring of Honor, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's where he belongs.
You see all the jokes when Tony Khan announced that Wembley show?
Yeah.
Nigel McGuinness is standing right next to him. Oh, we're going to have Adam Cole announce it. No, not Nigel McGuinness. I don't think he has any ties to England or anything.
Yeah, man. I feel like he probably hates whatever football team plays there, but yeah.
Yeah, right. I think that's serious, man.
Oh, yeah. But up next, this is Roderick Strong versus Machine Gun Carl Anderson. It goes 12 and a half minutes. In the end, Roderick comes off of the ropes and gets caught with a gun stun. Anderson then pins him for the win. Uncle Dave gave this 3.5 stars. I actually gave it 4. What say you?
I gave it 3. Really great.
I love this match. I thought these two worked great together. I've always been a huge Roddy fan, so I'm always be a big supporter of his. To be honest, I like Carl Anderson. I just haven't seen much of his stuff as a singles wrestler. So I know he had a run not too long ago in New Japan, but I didn't pay too much attention to it. So, yeah, he is good.
Really on SmackDown.
Are the Good Brothers on SmackDown now?
The whole OC is.
Ah, nice. They get drafted as a unit or separate?
Yeah, all 4 of them. They went together.
That's funny how you can, like, draft a unit of people.
But they didn't do that last time. All of a sudden, this time they are. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I remember in the original draft, you couldn't draft, like, tag teams or whatever, and they would, like, purposely, like, split them up. It's like, ugh. Like, why? Let's say this, like, I think, was it D-Von that got drafted first? Like, dude, if SmackDown drafted D-Von, other than to sabotage them, why would you want just Bubba Ray? Like, who gives a crap? Like, now you're just wasting picks.
Man. But, you gotta piss off somebody. You got a letter.
But up next, it is everybody's favorite wrestler, Matt Taven. He's got Truth Martini and Scarlett, the future Scarlett Bordeaux, in his corner. They're taking on Matt Hardy with Steve Corino and Adam Cole, baby. Well, not yet, but yeah. It is a 3-way elimination match for the ROH television title. This goes just shy of 11 and a half minutes. I forget how awesome Matt Hardy's Voodoo Johnson theme was.
Oh, like, yeah?
yeah.
Matt Hardy's Voodoo Johnson.
That sounds like an innuendo. Giggity. But yeah, I don't know. I like that band. Like, a lot of people don't know about them, but like, if you're an old Ring of Honor fan, you know who the hell they are. I thought they did good work on his theme. But Steve Corino goes full weirdo and calls Matt Hardy the Jesus Christ of professional wrestling.
Right.
He's also in the same faction, got the Antichrist of professional wrestling. So there's that.
Yeah, what do you not get?
You got both sides of the coin. There you go. You got
that's
all
how you avoid hell and heaven. Right. What are you missing here?
I think this was the first time we've ever seen Scarlett Bordeaux, by the way. And
wouldn't be the last.
Thank God. I will say, I know this is like, duh, but she was looking all the way live here. She did have red hair at the time, though, and she hadn't quite gotten her doctor visits in. But, you know, she's still all the way live. Nigel makes a bunch of gay jokes about Truth Martini on commentary, by the way. Oh, God.
Is he actually gay?
I don't think so. I could be wrong. Somebody can correct me, but and they will. But no, like I hope not, because Nigel was saying all this in like a derogatory way. Because like Matt Taven poses with the title, and Scarlett gets on her knees on one side, and Truth gets on his knees on the other, and Nigel's like, "Yeah, Truth is used to that position." Like, holy God! And then later he's going on about he said something about, oh, normally so-and-so wears pants or something like that. He's like, oh, I wish Truth would have wore some pants. Oh, look, he even shaved his legs.
I never understood why he dressed like that.
Dude, he looked like the Mad Hatter crossed with, like, I'll say, he looked like the Mad Hatter at a Pride Parade. It was weird, man. I don't get the top hat. I will say this, though, to compliment him, I thought he was very underrated as manager. Like, I always loved the Book of Truth thing, the House of Truth. I always thought that stuff was super cool. Like, he was a great manager, always knew the positions, not the way that Nigel meant
well,
it.
Yeah. Now you too, huh?
One of my favorite things was when, like, his client would hit a big move and he would, like, do a lap around the ring with his book high in the air.
Yeah, high in the air, yes.
Loved it. And I pointed out we did a Wrestle Kingdom earlier this year that he was on, and he got like a custom Japanese cover for the Book of Truth. I'm like, now that is attention to detail with your gimmick. That is cool. But anyway, distracting from the match, because, you know, that's a good thing to do. Or ECW. Scarlett gives Nigel McGuinness a lap dance and then takes her shirt off. Look, I'm not complaining about any of this. I'm just saying it's distracting for the match. But Hardy hits a twist of fate on Matt Taven, but the ref is distracted for reasons. So Adam Cole kicks Matt Hardy in the junk. The ref turns as Cole rolls Hardy up and pins him to eliminate him. Carino gets in the ring now to shake Cole's hand. Cole gets sent into Carino. Taven hits a modified DDT on Adam Cole and pins him to win. Uncle Dave gave it 2.5. I gave it deuce. What say you?
I gave it 2. Just a mess.
One of my least favorite matches of the night. Not good. Bad.
Not good. Believe me, not good.
Matt Taven, man. You know, that screams ratings right there.
You want me to tell you how to get to his house? So it's on the edge of the street, right? And then you go up one little alley, and then you walk up a hill, and then down 2 blocks. There's going to be a bunch of houses. There's one house in the bush in front of it. That's where he lives.
I'll tell you what, man. When I see Matt Taven on a card, I think,
shut up and take my money.
Shut up and give me my money back.
Right. Hey, man, he single-handedly sold out Madison Square Garden. Remember that?
Yeah, not Okada.
Right. But Matt Hardy puts on a headset now on commentary.
Oh, honestly, but that's just me.
Matt Hardy puts on a headset on commentary and literally cries. He cries, bro, about being eliminated via a kick to the nuts. Oh, man.
I'm fair, I'm telling you.
Up next, we've got Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly defending the Ring of Honor tag team titles against my favorite Ring of Honor tag team, the American Wolves, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. This goes about 21 minutes. I only own one Ring of Honor shirt, as far as I know, and it's a Davey Richards shirt. And I got that at the first Ring of Honor show I ever went to, and when he's doing his entrance, he gets up on the corner and he saw me in the crowd wearing his shirt, and he like pointed at me. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, picked my ass out of a crowd.
Putting out the next victim.
He's like, everybody kick that guy's ass. But anyway, in the end, Davey gets kicked off of an O'Connor roll, and from the outside, Bobby Fish kicks him in the head. Kyle O'Reilly then rolls him up for the pinfall win and to retain the titles. Uncle Dave gave this 4.5 stars. I gave it 3.5. What say you?
I gave it 4.
I liked it. I really liked it. It just, I don't know. I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. I don't know. It wasn't bad by any means.
It's really not good. Lethal and what's his name, but it's close.
Yeah.
Lethal and Elgin, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's
really good match, though. I enjoyed it. But we get another recap package of build-up for the main event, and that will take us to our second-to-last break. On the other end of this one right now, we'll be back with the main event.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/mainevent marks pod, on Twitter at @main_marks, and on Instagram at @main_marks and at @main_collector.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Oh, yeah.
We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Brother, mother, same mother and father.
Your room was...
Oh, we shared the room.
Shared a room.
We shared the room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast.
We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The...
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah, well...
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter, at The Brocast, that's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey, it's all right, good on you.
Yeah. Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Remember, we don't spell it with a C. You spell it with a K.
Salute, mate.
Take it easy.
Reach for the sky, boy.
The Main Event marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/main event marks.
And we're back.
We're back.
This is your main event. It is Kevin Steen defending the ROH World Heavyweight title, the one that he said looked like a cop badge, against Jay Lethal, or Jay Briscoe.
What would the Canadian know about a cop badge? You mean a Mountie badge?
Yeah, right. But he's taking on Jay Briscoe. This goes 18 and a half minutes. I forgot how much I used to love Kevin Steen t-shirts, by the way. There's one just said Steen, but it looked like the Dexter show logo. And then the one he wore here was like a mugshot, and it just said guilty.
I have this very weekend he signed a picture of that for me, of that nice picture. Yeah,
I have signed
not the shirt, just the picture. But
I have a signed picture of him. I found it in my storage recently. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. I feel bad. I don't remember because I met like a bunch of people and got all their autographs, like one right after the other. I forgot he was one of the people. It was like him, El Generico, Eddie Edwards, and Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team, and Jay Lethal. So I got all of them. But anyway, this is another thing I miss. I miss Kevin Steen's Unsettling Differences theme. That was unsettling, one of them, whatever. I miss his Ring of Honor theme. That song kicked ass.
He's never even brought it back for a one-off.
I know. That would have been awesome. But unlike other members of Scum, Kevin Steen enters through the curtain. Because the thing is, like, Scum tried to do like an NWO thing.
He's not with them yet at this point. Like, they're recruiting him, and he's like kind of with them.
I thought he was like the first member. He used to wear
the
shirts.
I remember him coming out with them and just being like, almost like they're trying to get him to join. He won't.
Huh. I don't remember. But I do know, because they made sure to point that out on commentary. They're like, well, unlike the other members of Scum, he came through, came down the entryway. The whole gimmick with Scum was they were saying they were apart from Ring of Honor. They weren't going to come out through the entryway. They're coming through the crowd and whatever. Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, at one point, Jimmy Jacobs runs
down.
Weird, because
he's never been done before, ever.
Yeah, nobody has ever done a gimmick like this where, you know, oh, we're not a part of the company. We're invaders. Yeah, that wasn't like one of the biggest angles in wrestling history. But at one point, you want to get over. Jimmy Jacobs runs down, but instantly gets jumped by Mark Briscoe, who beats him up all the way to the back. Steen and Briscoe just beat the piss out of each other in this match. Rhett Titus runs out now and distracts the referee. And now Cliff Compton runs out, but gets held back by Veda Scott.
Looking all the way live.
That is true. But when I say that, you're probably thinking,
who?
She's a hot redhead chick from Ring of Honor. So that's really all I can say about her. But she randomly grabs Cliff Compton and like hold him back. And Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander now run out to beat the two men to the back. Eventually, a lot of members of the Ring of Honor roster surround the ring to cheer Jay on. Dude, can you imagine, like, not to spoil the ending here from, 10 years ago, but if Jay lost, holy crap.
Yep.
You want to talk about, felt lighter than a plate full of piss. Man. It's funny to see Steen hit an F5 for a near fall at one point. He then hits a package pile driver, but Jay kicks out. Scum tries coming to the ring, but gets mugged by the Ring of Honor roster. Matt Hardy manages to slip in, though, and he goes for the twist of fate on Jay. Kevin Steen kicks Matt and throws him out of the ring, not wanting to cheat. This leaves Steen open for a Jay Driller for a near fall. After a bit more wrestling, Jay hits a second Jay Driller for the title win. Uncle Dave gives this 3.5 stars, as did I. What say you?
I gave it 4. I liked it a little bit more than you guys. This was a match of the night, I thought.
This was really damn good. If I had to pick match of the night, it would probably be Lethal and Elgin. But this was really good. I mean, I didn't have any complaints about it. They set it up perfectly. So, done really well. The streamers fly, and everyone hugs at ringside as Jay Briscoe calls his family into the ring to celebrate with him. Kevin Steen
actually, a couple weeks ago, when the day passed away, I put this picture on my Instagram.
Oh, really?
If anyone wants to see it. Him holding the title.
It's sad, you know, seeing all this now. It's like, man. The Briscoes were such a tight family, they said, and he had the whole crew there with him. But either way, Kevin Steen eventually gets in the ring and steals a mic from Jay. He says nothing, but eventually shakes Jay's hand and then hugs Jay's family before leaving the ring. Jay's father straps up the ROH title around Jay's waist. Jay asks a sound guy if, just for one single night tonight, they take it old school and play some Lynyrd Skynyrd as the show comes to a close.
Roll Tide.
Did they actually play Lynyrd Skynyrd?
They did, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was like, yeah, they were like, sure, we'll play it. Cut the pay-per-view. Cut it. They're not going to pay for that.
What? A little bit above our pay grade.
Yeah, right. I forget the Lynyrd Skynyrd song that they used to come out to.
Give me back my boots.
Ah, yeah, that's it. Okay. Or should I say...
That is correct.
There we go.
Classic.
That does it for the show. We're going to take our final break and tell you what our final ratings are and what's coming up next month on the podcast.
Follow the Main Event Marks at facebook.com/MainEventMarksPod, on Twitter at MainEvent_Marks, and on Instagram at MainEvent_Marks and at MainEventCollector.
What's up, everybody? I am the hardest part of the ring, the host of the Apron Bump Podcast. Ugh. Another wrestling podcast? How many times can I listen to fans tell me who needs a push, who doesn't need a push, who brings Vince's coffee these days? Enough! The Apron Bump is about the journey. It's about nostalgia. It's about discovering new forms of wrestling to really tickle your pickle as a wrestling fan. The podcast brings you reviews of wrestling events all over the world, whether it's WWF, WWE, WCW, ECW. We even cover the golden eras of Ring of Honor, Progress, TNA, and more promotions in the future as well. New episodes every Wednesday. Bump day, huh? Yeah? Go to apronbump.com or go to your favorite podcast platform or YouTube and subscribe today for the most diverse, fan-friendly wrestling podcast in the world. I'm Hard.
Event marks are available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Find all of our links on our link tree at linktr.ee/MainEventMarks.
And we're back.
We're back.
Final ratings here. CageMatch.net gives this 8.18 out of 10. I didn't get anything from IMDb. I give it an 8.5 out of 10 for B+. What say you?
I gave it a B+ as well. It was
pretty
fantastic.
Damn cool show. Yeah. Hey, if you're going to pull a Ring of Honor show, this is definitely a good one. So I enjoyed it. And we've got more Ring of Honor in the future on the podcast. So if you guys liked it, please let us know. We like to hear your feedback about what you want to hear more of, less of, all that kind of stuff. We'll kind of plan around that. But that ends the month, man. I can't believe we already got May in the can. How about that? Moving on to June now. June is a packed month. This is our anniversary month for the podcast, man. What does this make? 3 years?
When was COVID? Time,
yeah. Yeah, time flies since, you know, when you're talking about wrestling, I guess. But June 7th, we're bringing the WWE's Great American Bash 2004. This is a show, man. Was this the one, I know I've probably asked you a bunch, but was this the one you were at?
No, I was at 07. Oh, no, this was last year, I think.
Okay, yeah. Torrey Wilson looking all kinds of roll tied on the cover art of this one. This one was in Norfolk, Virginia. The main event is The Undertaker versus the Dudley Boys in a handicap concrete crypt match.
Yep, you got it all in there.
Right.
Yeah, that happened. And somebody's got to die, bro. I will say, I love the match before that, though. It is a Texas bull rope match. Eddie Guerrero defends the WWE title against JBL. So that should be pretty good. Hey, we get another show with Mordecai on it, man. Yay. And
fact you said another one means we already covered him enough.
Right. Rey Mysterio versus Chavo Guerrero for the Cruiserweight title. That should be fun, but, you know, I don't know, there's enough.
Hey, we haven't seen that enough times. So.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, that one should be decent. And that does it for the month of June. I'm excited. Summer is in full swing. It's a good time. June is usually fun for us, but
by the time we record these, my two most anticipated movies of the year will have been watched, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, there you go. But thank you for joining me today, Greg.
Hey, yeah.
We will see you next week in the month of June with WWF King of the Ring 1994.